Hey guys, you're listening to RJ and Austin's Mindset Matters, a podcast that explores the nuances of aspiring and successful entrepreneurs.
We're two real estate investors that quit our jobs by challenging the mindset society teaches in school and overcoming traditional limiting beliefs.
Join us each week as we dive into the mindset of an entrepreneur.
Scaling is only difficult when you build your organization like a tower instead of a city. That rings true for us today, and that's what we're going to be talking about. So, what's up, Austin? How you been?
What's going on? What's going on, RJ? Life is good, man. Life is good. Got a few things moving on. Last episode, we talked about I closed on that property in Hollywood. Starting the renovation on Monday. Looking forward to that. And then also, I'm doing this new thing that I've never done before. It's called Airbnb arbitrage, and closing that property and starting the renovation on it next week as well. So Monday, both of those are getting going.
Rocking and rolling, rocking and rolling. Nothing new here apart from somebody crashing into my truck, and I'm very upset about that, but I think I talked about that last episode. So let's get in this topic, man. Scaling is only difficult when you grow your organization like a tower instead of a city. You and I had to stop and think about that for a minute. And it's exactly where I'm at in my business today. So we're going to be talking about how to scale your business, the negative mindsets that come along with it, the setbacks, and how to push through that. So for you guys that can't visualize that, when you build an organization like a tower, it's like a pillar. You're at the top and you really have no help. There's no delegation duties. It's you straight line from the top, straight line to the bottom. And the way that I see that is you're in every single aspect of the business. Rather than building like a city where maybe you're in the center and there's everybody else around you. So all business activities do revolve around you, but you have tons of different people helping you with the different facets of business. That's how I read it. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, man. I think if you think about this, say you're that tall skyscraper, that tall pillar that RJ was just referring to, and somebody comes over and knocks you over and you're the sole CEO of that company, you have no other help. That business is gonna crumble and there is not gonna be able to go on. But if you have a city of multiple buildings surrounding you, if you go down, the business can still sustain itself. So you're able to keep moving forward and keep growing that business. You wanna be able to take yourself out of the business as much as possible and have people supporting you in the organization so that you're able to grow and you're able to scale.
That's awesome. I didn't think about it that way, but that's an awesome way to put it. You want breadth as well as depth. So let me tell you a little bit about where I'm at today in EJC and why I'm so frustrated. I'm dealing with a ton of negative mindsets, negative self-talk, because, you know, I'm stuck in the shit right now and it's very difficult getting out because I didn't create SOPs. I didn't write down or document what I'm doing. And I created my organization like a pillar instead of like a tower instead of a city. So now I'm backtracking. The organization is running wild. Like we're growing like crazy. But now I have to add staff. And now I have to slow down my business for me to be able to train my staff because I never created standard operating procedures. I never wrote down anything I did. Everything relies on me, from sales to scheduling, organization, invoicing, accounting, everything. It sucks. And, you know, I'm making myself very vulnerable by telling the audience that today. So the way that I want to tie it back to you guys is, no matter what, when you see somebody that's very successful, that's doing a lot of great things, not saying I'm that person, there's always two sides of the coin. So, you know, every day I get up and it's almost like I'm working 9 to 5 again. I'm dreading going to work because I didn't set up my organization correctly. And Austin, you and I were having conversations about that earlier. Tell us how that relates to you, negative mindset, and also maybe what you're going to be doing different moving forward since our conversation.
Yeah, I think this is a really good time to bring this up because with this Airbnb arbitrage opportunity, I'm going to start the scaling process for that side of the business and with the other Airbnbs that I currently have as well. So what that looks like is right now I'm in the middle of all guests and cleaner communication. So whenever a guest checks in, I'm communicating with them. Whenever they check out or whenever they're at the property, I'm communicating with them. And then when they leave, I have to communicate with the cleaners. So what I decided to do is this Airbnb arbitrage, I'm going to partner with somebody that wants to learn the business. So I'm going to go through the whole process with them. I'm going to teach them how to communicate with the guests, communicate with the cleaners. And then once we launch this property, I'll be in the background, but he's going to be the one maintaining that communication so that I can take myself out of that center piece that we were just talking about, if you would like to say the column. And I'm able to focus on what I'm more passionate about, which is growing and scaling the business and finding new investment opportunities. Right. So
what did we chat about before we jumped on the podcast? So what do you have to do while you're training?
Yeah.
In relation to the SOPs.
Yeah. So putting me on the spot right now, RJ, memory's not that great, man. But I think what we were talking about is that building those SOPs and then just knowing that those SOPs are going to change and they're going to adjust as you grow your business. And it doesn't have to be perfect when you're building those SOPs at first. And then having him as well build out SOPs of what he's doing on a day-to-day basis, then you can talk about it and you can go back and you can observe what you both have and then just make it better. So if I'm speaking to the audience right now, how you can relate this in your job, say you're a vice president of company and then you have an assistant or so, write down what your day-to-day looks like. So when you do step out of the office to invest in real estate, or if you have a dentist appointment or a kid's birthday or something, you can pass those SOPs onto your assistant so that you're able to not have to be there 100% of the time. And then if you do need to go, you have somebody else to lean on.
Yeah. So let me reiterate that, make it very clear to the audience. When Austin and I are talking about SOPs, we're talking about documentation of your standard operating procedures. Because if it all relies up here, you can never hand it off or give it to somebody. Nobody could read it. You're gone. All of a sudden, you got to type it out. And that's what I'm dealing with today. So I never wrote out my standard operating procedures. So when I hired a second, now I'm sitting there trying to express everything to them. I still don't have things written down. So now I have to slow down the business, find more time to then do it. So basically, I wasn't prepared. It sort of relates to, you know, quitting your W-2 job prematurely, or not practicing before a baseball game or something, going into the game not equipped. So it's all about positioning yourself so that you are in the best possible position to move forward when that's scaling your business. The one other way I want you to think about it is, if you're in your business today, you have an operating business, would you be able to sell that business if you stepped away? Think about it that way.
Or could that business maintain itself and keep growing if you weren't in the picture?
Yep.
Right.
Exactly.
So could you explain the abbreviation for SOPs one more time for the audience, RJ?
Sure. It's standard operating procedures. The number one rule, the number one thing that keeps organizations running is communication, the flow of information, and having a standard set way to operate your business. So it's everything from how you interact with the client. You know, I greet the client, I compliment the client, I ask the client to show me the work that they'd like done. We speak about the work and then we wrap up. So simple, right? It could be so simple. That was like my engagement with clients in five sentences. But not even having that written down, you know, a newbie would come in and maybe mess it up.
So I love that you just brought up communication, because in any business, any job, for anything to work, there needs to be good communication. If there's not good communication, you and your employees are going to be on separate pages, and it can cause a lot of negative things to happen to you and your business. Your employees could resent you because you said something. It's just everything boils down to communication, right? So if you have these, if you're a bad communicator, and I think that's something that you should really think about, because a lot of us don't really highlight our weaknesses. We kind of just overlook them. If you're a bad communicator and you take the time and you realize that, these SOPs are going to help you become a better communicator by putting it exactly how you want it on a piece of paper and giving it to your employees to go over and observe. And then you can communicate about that piece of paper that you just put in front of your employees. So I think this is like a very key item to have with any business, any job, to get you where you want to be.
Yep. And so again, SOPs, they're fluid. They're going to change. If you think about the book, The One Thing by Gary Keller, people often mistake the one thing for the only thing, meaning people think that once you create an SOP, you can never change it. That's absolutely false. And then from the communication standpoint, the book Traction, if you guys have ever read Traction by Gino Wickman, it all starts by stating your focus so that everybody in the organization can work towards that one goal. It's consistent communication, whether weekly, monthly, quarterly, or yearly. These are amazing books to read. The One Thing, Gary Keller, Traction by Gino Wickman. And even if you're new to starting out, reading Mindset by Carol Dweck. These are the three books I constantly mention. And it's a marathon, not a sprint. You got to constantly reread them, re-implement the ideas in your head, because if you don't use them, you lose them. Right.
Yeah. So let's jump back over to the topic, which is scaling your business. So yep. I think one crucial point to make right now is we all have weaknesses, and I feel like I just briefly touched on that, but when you're doing your job at work, or you're growing your business, right? Everybody as a human being has weaknesses, and we have to find out what our weaknesses are. And for us to scale our business, we have to find employees or partners that complement our weaknesses, that can do what we're not so good at, I guess, to put simply. So whenever you're looking for a partner or looking for an employee, if you're not good at sales, find somebody that's good at sales. If you're not good at the numbers, running the numbers, or doing due diligence, find somebody that's good at due diligence as well. RJ, what do you think about that? How are you finding people that complement your weaknesses in your day-to-day business currently?
Well, that's a great point. And I'm actually going to correlate that to a meeting that I have on Thursday, right? So a meeting I have on this coming Thursday, I actually created a framework where we're doing a SWOT analysis: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. We're doing that for each individual person, for ourselves, so that we can identify and have it on paper. Again, flow of information, documentation. You know, if I say it to somebody, they're going to lose it. But if I hand them a paper, they're going to have it forever, potentially. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great point to make. I was thinking about meeting with these new potential business partners, and, you know, how can we make it the most of our time? So I created a framework where we're going to do personality tests. We're going to write down our own SWOT analysis. And then we're going to take a book out of Traction, and we're going to do our 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year goals. And then what our morals and visions are for ourselves for the future. That way, everything's going to be documented. Everything's going to be on paper. And then we could take a clear look into each individual person and then start to structure the organization in a way that is maximizing everybody's strengths.
Awesome.
That's what I'm doing. I think that's an amazing thing to do. Obviously, you can't do it with all business partners. You have to create a relationship first. But if you're talking to somebody and you guys are getting very serious, try to do that. Exercise. Create a SWOT analysis for yourself. And then that's for yourself. You could always have it moving forward. You could give it to anybody after you pass that point in the relationship and you want to build the business with them.
Yeah, so that's a really good point. So let me put you on the spot one more time. So one thing that we haven't talked about before is what are you looking for in your business? If like an audience member wanted to reach out to you and they wanted to like give you value in regards to scaling your business, what would that look like in your eyes?
Sure. So the one thing that I told you before we jumped on, I need to work on being more structured and more organized. I play more of a visionary role, but even as a visionary, which means you have a ton of different ideas, and an integrator typically comes in, takes those ideas and builds them out, right? So I'm visionary. So even as a visionary, I need to write down, my ideas more because I probably have hundreds a week, right? And you don't know what's going to stick and what doesn't. So for me, what I look for in a partner is somebody that could keep me on track. I have entrepreneur syndrome all the time. I see a shiny plastic bag and I want to chase it down the street. Somebody that is going to level set my crazy expectations that I have all the time and help me work on the structuring. So I need to structure more. I need to time block more. And we talked about that during our last episode, time blocking for your future. You need to work on yourself so that you could change, so that you're not in the same spot you are today, 10 years from now. How about you, Austin? Give me your side.
Yeah, man. I think what my major strength is that I see everything from a huge picture, and I see all the moving parts moving around, and I'm very good at like finding people to put in certain roles to get to that end goal that we're all looking to achieve. I guess I'm a little bit of jack of all trades. I can do sales. If I need to, I can run the numbers if I need to. But I'm not like a master of any single one. I'm more of the big picture kind of guy. So as we tie this back to scaling your business again, I guess what I would look for right now in somebody that wanted to help me is somebody that's really good at sales. And those characteristics are hard to find these days in my eyes. So if you're good at sales and you want to learn real estate and you're okay with getting punched in the face, knocking on doors constantly, reach out to me. That's what I'm looking for currently as we scale this business. And reach me at sflorida_Airbnb guy on Instagram. And
So that reminds me of a quote that's often misquoted. And it's a jack of all trades is a master of none, but oftentimes better than a master of one. So people always say a jack of all trades is a master of none and they cut it off. But, you know, that end part oftentimes is better than a master of one. So you do have to be good at everything. You can never start an organization without understanding every single individual facet of that organization. So there's that.
Yeah, I think they cut that off is because society tells us that you should get a job, you should work that job forever, and then you should pretty much die and then maybe live retirement for like, I don't know, a couple weeks.
Right.
Which is pretty much what it boils down to. But the reason I say that is because of the fact that they as a company, you want to hire the best person in that field and have them be the best person working for you. And they don't want you to learn other things because you're going to get distracted from that one position. But as a CEO and owner of a company, you have to be able to see every single aspect of that business. You cannot just be good at one thing. And that's why society doesn't really say the rest of that saying, because the majority of people in America and the rest of the world are employees. So,
well, that's the huge conspiracy theory. So now we're going down rabbit holes, but that's the huge conspiracy theory about the Board of Education. I think it was Rockefeller that said, I'm trying to create a generation of workers, right? We don't want to teach you how to think because we need workers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much the education system. They teach you to grow up, get a job, like you said, retire, and then that's it. That's your life. But an entrepreneur sees past that. We do need workers. And that's, you know, I don't know if that quote's true or not, but likely why Rockefeller said it. You know, he's a billionaire at the time, and he needs a generation of workers. So you want to teach. So it's actually it's sad, but it's, you know, crazy to think about. So with that, guys, I think we're gonna wrap up now. Austin, you got anything else?
I don't have anything else, but I think, as you always say, send us a message, let us know what you want us to talk about. And we'll see you all next week.
Yeah, see you guys. Like, subscribe, and follow us.
Yo, you made it to the end. You're one step closer to changing your mindset, discovering your true potential.
If you like what you heard, share our podcast and leave us a review. Send us a note. We'd love to hear from you.
Catch you next week.